2 Samuel chapter 17. I told you this morning that my intentions were to not preach long this afternoon. I was thinking as I felt impressed of the Lord to speak on briefly on this subject this evening. I thought to myself, it seems like it probably was not too long ago that maybe I preached a similar sermon, and I really could not remember if I had or if I had just thought about it. But either way, I know it's what the Lord would have me to say. And it kind of ties in with our patriotic emphasis. And if I did preach on it in the past, I did not give it the emphasis that I'm giving this afternoon. I know that. But the book of 2 Samuel chapter 17, and as I said, I'm going to preach this evening or this afternoon on what I'm going to call the example of an old patriot. The example. I think I said the testimony this morning. It's actually the example of the old patriot. And what I want us to do is there's a man that I want us to look at briefly. And from his example, I want us, especially those of us that are older, and I include myself in that, I want us to learn from the example of this man. And I think that there's a great lesson to learn here. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, now, Wednesday night, last Wednesday night we were studying Psalm 3. We're going to continue studying Psalm 3 this Wednesday night. Psalm 3 was written either at the time of or looking back upon the time when David fled from his son Absalom. Absalom led an insurrection against his own father, and David had to flee the land. And he has to flee, crosses over the Jordan River, goes over into the land of Gilead, and he's there trying to get away from his son. And the rebellion did not last long because his son was killed, and then David was able to come back. That's the setting for the third psalm that we're studying on Wednesday night. And that's the setting, the story from which I'm lifting this text here this evening. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 27, "And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat, for they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Now I want you to notice here of these men that came and brought this stuff to David. There was a man by the name of Barzillai the Gileadite. Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogelim. And he is the old patriot who sets an example in the story that I believe we could all learn from and be challenged by. And so, Father, bless as we look at this dear old man, how that you used him to help David and also to help someone else that was coming up behind him. I know most of us here this afternoon, we're getting up in age, and it would be so easy for us, Lord, just to say, well, we've done our part. Now it's time for us to just get out of the way and let others do their part. But Lord, you tell us to occupy till you come. Not until ever we get old, but till you come. And we need to be delivered from that careless, casual attitude. And I pray that you'd use the example of this dear old man, Barzillai, to kind of wake us, to kind of slap us a little bit, and wake us up and instruct us for your glory and for the sake of our nation, I pray. Amen. I'm preaching, as I said, briefly on the subject of the example of an old patriot. Now, I trust that you're somewhat familiar with the story from which my text is taken. It's taken from the event that God used to move David to pen Psalm 3, which we're presently studying on Wednesday evenings. And it's the story of David, king of Israel, being driven from his throne and from his palace by his own son Absalom, who is seeking to take over as king of the nation. After leaving Jerusalem, crossing the Kidron Valley, and then crossing the Jordan River into the land of Gilead, there were three men of that area that came to David with provisions to provide for David and his loyal followers. One of those men was a man, Barzillai. As I've mentioned, he's mentioned here in 2 Samuel 19:32. He is the last one of the ones that's mentioned as bringing provisions to him. And he is the one that I want us to really focus on. I've said I'm talking about the testimony of an aged or an older patriot. And here's why I call him an older patriot. If you look over at chapter 19 and verse 32, and we're going to look at some passages, some verses in chapter 19 a little bit later. But in chapter 19 and verse 32, here's what the Bible says of this man. It says, "Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. And he had provided the king a sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man." And so here he's described as a very aged man. 80 years old, of course, means that he was 80 years old. So he was obviously, the Bible says, he was an older man. And then the fact that he remained loyal to David during Absalom's rebellion, that tells me that he was also a patriot. And therefore, I am calling him an old patriot, because that's what he was. He was an 80-year-old man, still very loyal to his king, very loyal to his country, very loyal to his God. Now over in chapter 19 and verse 32, it not only tells us he was an old man, but also says he was a very great man. And in the context in which we are told that he was a very great man, it is obviously speaking of his great wealth. And obviously he had a lot of wealth in order to provide for David and the loyal followers. He had to have a lot of material resources in order to provide these things for them. But I believe he was also a very great man in other ways as well, simply because of the fact that the way he conducted himself and some things that he does that we'll talk about in a little bit. But he was a great man in many other ways other than just being a wealthy man. So often today we consider a great man to be a wealthy man. And that's it. But I want to tell you something. You can be a wealthy man and not be very great at all. Amen? And you can be a poor man and be a very great man in the eyes of God. This man, I believe, was great in the sense of being a wealthy man, but he was also great in the eyes of God as well. Now, when the rebellion was put down, David began his trip back to Jerusalem. Remember, as he's leaving Jerusalem, crosses the Jordan River over to the region of Gilead. That's where Barzillai meets him, with some other men providing provisions for him. But when the rebellion was put down, David began his trip back to the city of Jerusalem. And as he's going back to Jerusalem, look at 2 Samuel 19, you'll find that the old patriot Barzillai, he intercepted David and accompanied him to and even over the Jordan River. And so in verse 31, 2 Samuel 19, verse 31, here's what we read. I got to find it myself here. "And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Ogellum and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. And once they crossed the Jordan River, King David, he's now being restored to his throne, he asked Barzillai to move to Jerusalem with him. He says, if you'll move to Jerusalem with me, he says, I'm going to take care of you for the rest of your life. I'm going to repay your loyalty. You're not going to have to worry about anything as long as you live, as long as I live." And we find that in 2 Samuel 19, verse 33. "The king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Otherwise, you're going to live on a government pension the rest of your life. You just come on over there. I'm going to put you up in the palace. You're going to eat at the royal dining table. You're going to have the best food, the best care that a man could have." And that was something that most men would have jumped at. Amen. I don't have to worry about anything anymore at all. And most men would have jumped at that opportunity to be so honored and to be so cared for by their government. But not this man, Barzillai. He's a patriot. And so I want you to notice how he responds in verse 34 and following, 2 Samuel 19, verse 34. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, that's 80 years, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. And so, basically what he does, he very politely says, thank you so much, King David, but I want you to know, I'm not going to take the offer up. Let me go back home. Now, he's the king, so he can tell him what to do. He says, I want you to let me go back home. I want to go back there, live in my old home place. I want to be buried in the old family cemetery. He says, I'm an old man, don't have many more years anyway. And I want you to let me do that. He says, in fact, David, he said, you offered to let me eat and drink from your table the rest of my life. And that's going to be delicious food. Boy, it's going to be the finest of beverages. He said, but you know something, I'm too old to enjoy the taste of fine food anymore. And he says, I'm too old to enjoy the taste of the fine beverages. And he said, I'm so old, my hearing's even getting bad. And I can't even enjoy the pleasant sound of the men and the women that sing for you in the palace. And so, though you're giving all these things to me, they really don't mean that much to me at my age. Isn't it amazing how that our perspective changes the older we get? Amen? And you see here the perspective of this old man. And you know something? Old King Solomon, he's the one, David's son, that eventually inherited the throne. But King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and look at chapter 12. Chapter 12. And here's what we find that old King Solomon did. And obviously it's near that. I think it's when Solomon's up in age. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, in a very picturesque language, very poetic language, he warns us that what happened to Barzillai is going to happen to all of us if we live long enough. That is, that our senses are not going to be as sharp as they were when we were young. And here's the way Solomon puts it. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light of the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be broken, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now you know what Solomon's just done here? In a very poetic way, he's described what happens to us as we get older. I love the way he does it. Amen. I won't have time to even begin to expound all of that. But he talks about this. He says, the day, verse 3, when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about these arms, these hands. Huh? As we get older, our hands start trembling, do they not? And he says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. You know what he's talking about? Your legs. Huh? Yeah, your legs, they get weak. And whereas before, they're straight, they had to kind of bowed a little bit there. And he says, and the grinders cease because they are few. You know what he's talking about there, don't you? Your teeth fall out. Amen. Yeah. You start losing teeth. I don't know if they could go get false teeth and dentures and implants back then. The truth of the matter is, you know, the teeth, we start losing our teeth. They wear out and they fall out and so forth. And it says, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. You know what it's talking about? Your eyesight grows dim. Things don't look as sharp as they once did. Colors aren't as pretty as they once were. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding is low. And I've got a note here. Somebody said that was referring to the teeth as well. He shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Otherwise, he gets up real early. Real early. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Otherwise, he can't hear like he once could. And Solomon goes on describing in this very figurative language what happens to us if we're blessed with a long life. Now, Barzillai, what he says to David is this. I've reached that point. I've reached that point. Don't have the grinders I used to have. I won't be able to eat that meat that you're going to put on that table. I won't be able to enjoy the flavor of it. And the taste of the beverages are not going to be that good. The singing of the music, I'm sure it's beautiful. But I won't be able to hear it as well as I once could. I won't be able to enjoy it as I once could. That's just a fact of life, is it not? Let me ask you this. How many of you, you had a favorite candy when you were coming up? Maybe a favorite candy bar. I used to love Baby Ruth's. And you know what? A few years ago, I said, I'm going to get me a Baby Ruth. My grandmother used to, when she'd put my sisters and my brother to bed, and we'd go out on the back porch, and she'd say, she'd reach up in the cabinet, she had one of these little squeeze change purses, you know what I'm talking about? And she'd pull that down, and she'd pull out some coins, and she'd say, here, Craig, she said, now go around the back way, and you go over to the store, and you get us a Pepsi Cola and a big old Baby Ruth, and you bring it back. And I was scared to death because I had to go out the back porch. It was dark. We didn't have any street lights. I had to slip around that dark house. But I tell you what, I was willing to risk my life for a Baby Ruth and a belly washer. Amen. It's what we call Pepsi Cola belly washer, right? I'd run as hard as I could to keep the boogers from getting me. And I'd go out there to the store and I'd get me one of those. And then I'd run back and I'd get around the back porch and Grandma would come out and say, now we got to be quiet. We got to be quiet. And I'd eat that Baby Ruth and we'd drink a Pepsi Cola. I thought a Baby Ruth was the best thing in the world. And so sometime back, I said somewhere, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me a Baby Ruth and a big old Pepsi Cola. And I got a Baby Ruth. And I bit into that thing, and I thought to myself, just not as good as it used to be. I guess they've changed the ingredients on them. And I got to thinking about that. How many of you that are up in age a little bit, how many of you have tasted something that you used to enjoy when you were young and you thought to yourself, they don't make them as good as they used to? Hold your hand up. Amen. Let me tell you what it may very well be. It may be our taste buds aren't as sharp as they used to be. Okay. That's what Brazilia is saying here. He says, listen here, I won't be able to enjoy it. And Baby Ruths are still good to me, not as good as Snicker bars, but they're good to me, but they're not as good as they used to be. Amen. That's just what happens whenever we get older. And he realizes that, and he says, so just don't David, please excuse me. Don't take offense, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to go with you. I want to go back home. Now, what Barzillai did do was this. He did request that David take care of a man named Chimham. Look at 2 Samuel 19, verse 37. 2 Samuel 19, verse 37. And here's what he says. He says, let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. Now, who's this man Chimham? I used to look at that and I say, well, he must have been a servant of Barzillai. In recent readings, I've discovered that many think that Chimham was probably a son of Barzillai. May very well have been. I really don't know for sure who he was. But I do know this, that Barzillai refers to this young man, Chimham, as thy servant. Look at this. It says, but behold, thy servant Chimham. Otherwise, David looked at Barzillai and he says, you're my servant. You're a servant of the king. You love me. You're loyal to me. That's what he meant when he refers to him as a servant. And now Barzillai says, listen here, I'm an old man. I can't enjoy all the fine things that you've offered to me. He said, but here is another one of your servants, a younger man, Chimham. He loves you as much as I love you. He's as loyal to you as I am. He loves this country as much as I do. He loves our God as much as I do. He has a future. And David, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take him. And I want you to do to him what you'd like to do to me. I want you to do to him what you'd like to do to me. And lo and behold, David does that. David does it. Now, having told you that story, I want to just make a couple of very quick applications. The first thing is this. Remember, this is an example to challenge us, to instruct us, to learn for us to learn from. The first application is this. As elderly parents, we are not fit to physically fight the battles of our nation anymore. I'm not worried about being drafted. Amen. Listen, if I would volunteer, they would not have me. They would not have me. So we're not fit physically to fight the battles of our nation. But there are some other very important things that we can do and we should do. One of them, of course, is what? We should vote. We should vote. If you're not registered to vote, get registered to vote. Amen? That is a patriotic duty that we have. Another thing we can do is this, is we can teach our grandchildren. Our children, you know, they're probably not going to sit down and listen to us. They're caught up in their careers. But we can at least teach our grandchildren. I think I told you how that recently, Memorial Day, wasn't it? I had three of my little grandsons came over with my daughter and son-in-law. And we were going to grill out and everything. And I said, now, before we do anything, any cooking or anything, there's something I want to do. One thing I want to do. And what is it? I said, it's a big secret. Trying to build up the suspense. My wife had no idea what it was doing. So we all loaded up in their minivan, and we went out here to the cemetery where that Marine is buried that threw himself on a grenade in Vietnam and gave his life for others. And there it is. They've got a monument built. The Marine Corps comes and cleans it off twice a year, and they got a big flag flying. You can see it from the interstate on 75, and it lights up at night. And you go there. You ought to visit if you've never visited it. And you go there. This guy received the Congressional Medal of Honor, I believe it was, and just a hero. And so I took those boys there, and I thought, now I'm going to have a hard time controlling these boys. And I got to tell them the story. And I was amazed. Now, the little one, he wasn't, but the two older ones, they're what, 5, 6, 6 and 5? They were just enthralled. And I was telling the story about how this young man, how he threw himself on a grenade. And it's because of people that did things like that. That's what we're thinking about on this Memorial Day. And man, they just sat there and they ate it up. I was shocked. But I hope that I made an impression on their minds that they'll never get away from. You can teach our grandchildren, amen? And we can pray for our nation. We can certainly do that. And we can pray for our soldiers. Certainly can do that. We need to be praying for Richard. And for these other young men, there's three on our prayer list on Wednesday night that are in boot camps and so forth. We need to pray for these. We can encourage and support the families of those that are fighting. I could not imagine what it would be like, for my wife if I was gone for months. What would have been like as a child? They need our support, and we can certainly use what little influence we have left to influence our political leaders, can we not? Now, those are just some suggestions, but you can make a lot of other applications as well. The application is this, but you can build up under that. We, as elderly parents, there's a lot of things we can't do anymore, but there are still some very important things we can do. And Barzillai says this, listen, there's not a lot I can do. I've got my wealth here, and I've shared that with you. to help overcome the rebellion. I could go and live off the government for the rest of my life and take it easy. He said, but I couldn't enjoy it like I could have, 50 years ago. He said, but here's a young patriot. He's your servant. He's somebody that David, you take what you want to do for me, I want to pass that blessing on to him, and you sow that in this young man, and this man will be somebody that will be a benefit to our country, an asset, not a liability. And so he's doing what he can. He's doing what he can. Now, a second and final application of this. We ought to be more concerned about the generation coming behind us than we are even for ourselves. We ought to be more concerned about the generation coming behind us than we are for ourselves. That's what Barzillai doing. Listen, the future of the country depended on the Chimhams, not the Barzillais. And the future of the country, you know what? It's not so much dependent upon the Craig Holmeses and people of my age and up as it is the younger people coming along behind. That's where the future of the country stands. And we ought to be concerned about them and their welfare. And we ought to do what we can to encourage them. Sometimes we get it all backwards. I had a friend, name was Marvin Shives. Mr. Shives was an interesting man. He's one of these type of fellows, he could just go anywhere and sit down and wheel and deal and make a living. Make a good living. Yeah, just amazing man. And I was in a restaurant, Mr. Shives, one time, and they came over and they said something like, I think you're old enough to get a senior discount. How old are you? And Mr. Shives said something like this. He said, I am old enough for the senior discount. He said, but I don't need it. He said, see that young couple over there? He said, when I was their age, I could have used a discount. I couldn't afford to take my wife out and eat anything. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my senior discount, and I want you to give it to them. Because I don't need it anymore. I've made a good living. I thought, wow. I don't know whether they gave that young couple the discount or not. But I thought, man, what an attitude. Here's a man that said, listen, I've been blessed. But I remember when I was like them, and it would have been a wonderful if I could afford to take my wife out. That's probably a great sacrifice for that young couple. Give them my discount. I don't need it anymore. I thought, when I read this story about Barzillai, I think about him. How that he said, I'm more concerned about these others that are coming along. I can encourage them. I don't really need it anymore. Now, it is very tempting for us to say to ourselves that we're not going to be here much longer, and so why should I be so concerned? That's the other people's problem, the people coming up behind me, that's their problem. But that is a rotten, ungodly attitude to take, is it not? Barzillai says no. Chimham, he's the man. Invest in him. He's the future. He's the future. He needs the help, and he can enjoy it and take advantage of a whole lot more. Now, because our Barzillai is concerned for the well-being of Chimham, Chimham obviously ended up having a pretty good life. In fact, you'll find this, that when King David finally, look over the book of 2 Kings, and I hope I got this right, 2 Kings chapter 2, David is realizes his life is drawing nigh to an end, and he's given instructions to Solomon, who's going to take over after him. 1 Kings chapter 2. Here's David giving instructions to his son Solomon, and he says this to him. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7, he says, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And so, obviously, he's talking about Chimham here. And he says, now I want you to be good to him. I want you to be good to all the descendants of this man because they've been loyal to me. And I want you to take good care of them. So that indicates to me that old Chimham turned out to be a pretty good fella and an asset to the country. And in fact, you look on over at Jeremiah chapter 41, and let's see here, verse 17, and we find this. This is centuries later, about four centuries later, and it says this, and they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. So 400 years later, they're still remembering a place as the habitation of Chimham. Obviously, when David took him back across the Jordan, that he gave him a piece of land, or he settled down around Bethlehem. And so 400 years later, they're still remembering this guy, which indicates to me that he was still being remembered because he had proved to be such an asset to King David and to the kingdom. A great lesson for us to learn. Now, I want to close with one of my favorite poems. And some of you are familiar with the poem. I think I've read it before here. The Bridge Builder. How many of you know The Bridge Builder? Oh, several of you do. Let me tell you about The Bridge Builder. It was written by the late Will Allen Drumgool. Will Allen Drumgool. I did not realize that until this week. I always figured it was a man. And I said, I want to find out who this Will Allen Drumgool is. And I discovered this, that it was not a man. It was a lady that wrote the poem. She was a female author from the state of Tennessee, up around Memphis, I believe it was. And she was obviously a very patriotic woman. And for she served as a warrant officer in the U.S. Naval Reserve during World War I. And one of the things that she did as a warrant officer was this, is she would give patriotic lectures to sailors to encourage them and motivate them. And I thought, that's interesting, World War I and somebody writing things like that. Man, she must have been quite a patriotic lady. And it made me appreciate the poem a whole lot more once I realized who she was. But here's the poem that she wrote. It's The Bridge Builder. And I'll close with this. She wrote, an old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray, the chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, the sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. Isn't that what Barzillai was saying? I want to build a bridge for Chim Ham. I want to build a bridge for him, David. I'm too old to enjoy these things. I've lived my life. I've enjoyed it. But one thing I can do in my old age is this. I can do something for him, the younger guy, and he'll prove to be a blessing. Let's just listen. I believe all of us here looking around, I think we're all patriots. And all of us men are old patriots, amen? The ladies, you're not, okay? Most of us are getting up in age, but we're patriots. But there's still things we can do. And may God help us to be like old Barzillai. We can't enjoy a lot of things, but there's a lot of things we can help others do, can't we? Huh? My grandchildren and so forth, I don't know if they understand it. Let's go do this, granddaddy. Go do this. And I say, you know something? Let me make it possible for you to do it. Say, why? I'm going to be honest with you. Riding a roller coaster is not the thrill it used to be for me. Amen? In fact, when I get off, I feel nauseated. All right? Used to, I'd get on this thing and I'd ride and ride and ride. I rode the Whiptail to Whirl one time. God said, I'm going to ride you till you ride no more. And after about 2 hours, he made me get off. I used to love stuff like that. But not anymore. But I tell you what, I enjoy seeing others enjoy it. Amen? You see? That's the way we got to be. Let's be a blessing to the younger ones coming on. Let's stand.